like to share really just a little bit about the significance, the majesty and the magnitude really of this day. We know it in our minds. And a lot of times it gets lost. It gets lost. It's busy. It's a busy time. We're driving to and fro. I got to get everything wrapped and sent out or get ready for a party or some such thing. But I want you to just think for a minute. Imagine if money was no object. Money is no object. What would you want for Christmas? You know, I got a row full of kids in the back. And Pastor brought up whipping through catalogs. I mean, if you could think big, grown up, if you could think big, where would you go? What would you purchase? Where would you live if money were no object? And as children, at Christmas, you make out your list. Who do you give your list to? Yeah, you go, the guy with the wallet. You give it to the guy with the wallet. Why? Because that's the only chance of getting whatever you had on your list. But if you're thinking really big, his wallet's probably not big enough to buy what you would like or all the things that you would like. You know, that's just the way it is. Our God is the owner of the cattle on a thousand hills. The universe is his. This earth he created for us, his children. We can dream big about things, but the reality is we have the biggest gift. We have the greatest gift. And that is prophesied. It was read this morning in Isaiah chapter 7. The Lord said, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And you go, oh, we've read that you know, every Christmas, you hear that. Well, the story behind this is Ahaz is king of Judah. Ahaz was a loser. He was a loser. He sacrificed his children to get what he wanted. He sacrificed them to false gods. That would be Carter. Let's see, we could take Carter and Haddon and Justice in the back row and do away with them. Ty would take them out into the valley and sacrifice them to get what he wanted. And this is what Ahaz did. Syria came up against Judah in an alliance with Israel, bearing down, and Ahaz, this weak and wicked king, is concerned. And God sends Isaiah to him to tell him, everything will be okay. And Ahaz goes, you know, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Okay, so now he's going to be hyper-spiritual. He's sacrificing his kids on an altar. But now, oh, I can't put God to the test. Charming. So God himself says, I will give you a sign. And we go, well, the virgin wasn't with child at that point. And we go, wow. What good was that to him? Christ didn't come for another 500 plus years. So what comfort? And in fact, Ahaz looked elsewhere. And Ahaz went on in his wickedness. He got even more wicked after this time, to the point that Judah ultimately went into captivity as well. We think back on that. God gave Ahaz a sign. Here it is. Here is your comfort. You have enemies on every side. It is God with you. That is your comfort. And had he thought about it, he would go, wow, God's on my side. God is with me. I don't have to fear Syria. I don't have to fear that it's Syria and Israel. I don't care how many big bad guys are marching down the street. God is with us. This isn't a hollow promise. This is the way it was supposed to be. We look back to the past. You go back to the Garden of Eden. And we see that God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. After the fall, in Genesis chapter 3, we see that God walked through the garden in the cool of the day. And so we have to surmise that this was a regularity. God walked with Adam and Eve. They had sweet and perfect fellowship with the living God until the fall. But it wasn't just with Adam and Eve. It was also with the patriarchs. As you read through the patriarchs, God is speaking to Abraham. Jacob wrestles with God. God is with the patriarchs. And in the language that they use, they clearly understand this in the circumstances of their lives. They know that God is with them. Joseph, what a classic story of the man thrown in prison. He knew that all things were working out. Why? Because God was with him. Even though he was thrown in jail, afterwards, when his brothers came and everything was made right, Joseph said, this is what God ordained. God led me through all this. He saw that God was with him. Pastor just concluded a series on Exodus. As Israel went out into the desert, how did they know God was with them? Yeah. There's a physical manifestation day in and day out. You've got the cloud by day, the fire by night. Is there any doubt that God is with them? Not a one. He provides manna. He provides water. God is with them. It was so serious that as they sinned, Moses goes before God, and Pastor preached on this in Exodus chapter 33. He said, Moses begs God, if your presence will not go with me, if your presence will not go with me, don't bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Don't bother. If you're not going to go with us, don't bother. We're just going to get crushed. Go with us as you are with us even now. Go forward another 500 years to Solomon. And as Solomon builds this majestic temple, an extraordinary temple, and he concludes his prayer, God fills the temple with his presence. So much so that the priests and the Levites had to scatter. They could not stay in the temple because of the presence of the Lord was so glorious. That was in the past. Has anybody seen that today? We don't see these things. I haven't seen it. We know in the future, in the new heaven and the new earth, that God will dwell with man. We've read that a couple of times here in the last few months. Revelation 21:3 says, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. The dwelling place of God is with man. God is going to dwell with us. Revelation 22:4 says, we will see his face. We will behold him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as the church is caught up in the air, it says, so we will always be with the Lord. We will be with him. But that's future. Well, we see these extraordinary manifestations in the past, and we hear about how amazing this is going to be in the future, but what about now? Emmanuel, God with us. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt with us. in Jesus' high priestly prayer, the night before he was executed, he said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." And you go, okay, no. No, it's not no. It is no. But it's not no like math. It's no like knowing your wife. We talked about this in Sunday school today. It is that intimacy between a husband and wife. That is the word for no. There. Like Adam knew his wife and she conceived and bore a child. This is eternal life, that they know you. Intimacy with the living God. Jesus Christ, in that same prayer, as he was concluding it, again, powerful as you read these, because again, this is the night before his execution. He says, "Father," this is his conclusion to the prayer, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am." Why? "To see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world." Oh, righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know, again, there's that know, that intimacy, "these know you, and that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." God with us. Right now, for all who believe. Unity between Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the people of God, and the church of God. Paul's charge to the Ephesians in the middle of his letter to the church of Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and through 19, really makes this pop. Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend," get, fully fathom, "with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God." Right now. Right now. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think." He's our Father. He loves us. It's Christmas. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, above and beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in his church here and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." So you're going to get gifts. I don't know if you open tonight or tomorrow. Yeah, okay, they're great. And, you know, God hopes too that you enjoy them, within the context of understanding that he is the best gift. And he smiles that you enjoy the little trinkets of this world, because they're all from him anyway. If we enjoy them, knowing that he is giving us great love, perhaps through our parents, perhaps back through our children, we will have greater appreciation and love for him. Hopefully we will delight in the greatest gift, truly Emmanuel, God with us. All right, what I'd like to ask you all to do is to circle